So how would you characterize what unfolded last week at this trial?
Ryan, what happened last week was bonkers.
That's our colleague Rob Copeland, who, for the past couple weeks, has been covering a trial in Texas involving the far-right conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. Jones is being sued for defamation by the parents of some of the children killed in the mass shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary in 2012. For years, Jones has spread the lie that the shooting was a hoax. The trial last week in Texas was brought by the mother and father of a 6-year-old boy. Rob says that from the beginning, it was chaotic.
Alex showed up in court on the first day with tape over his mouth, claiming that his First Amendment rights were being violated. He then, during the case, was broadcasting on his show, criticizing the parents, criticizing the judge. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Last week, the jury decided Jones had to pay more than $45 million in damages. But the question now is whether the family will ever see any of that money after Jones's company declared bankruptcy. Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Monday, August 8th. Coming up on the show, Alex Jones has to pay almost $50 million to two Sandy Hook parents. But will he?
This episode is brought to you by GlobalX ETFs. Looking to invest? Start your journey by exploring exchange-traded funds with GlobalX ETFs. Exchange-traded funds, or ETFs for short, create baskets of stocks, bonds, and other assets that you can buy in a single trade. GlobalX specializes in ETFs that track emerging trends, like the rise of artificial intelligence, as well as strategies aimed to generate income potential. Visit GlobalXETFs.com to discover how you can get started.
In December 2012, 20 children and 6 adults were shot and killed at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut.
Within a few months of that shooting, Alex Jones began going on the air and doing what he does fairly often, which is questioning the official narrative. He was saying it doesn't make sense. Maybe some of the parents were in on it. Maybe this children didn't even exist. Maybe they were actors. Maybe this whole thing was a hoax. And this wasn't just once. This was over and over again over the course of many, many years that he kept bringing this topic up.
Jones talked about it on his own platform, InfoWars, and in videos that were shared across YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. He also talked about it in an interview with Megyn Kelly on NBC. And did people believe him?
Absolutely, yes.
The families suing Jones say that as many as 25% of Americans, or 75 million people, believe the shooting was a hoax. It's hard to believe that that many people could possibly think that what Jones is saying is true.
It is hard to believe, but there are millions of people who consume either almost entirely Alex Jones or people like Alex Jones, and that's how they get their news. So if that's all you're hearing over and over again, it's not that hard to believe that you might begin to believe it.
Jones was eventually banned from most of the major tech platforms like YouTube and Facebook, but millions of people are still able to watch him on his own website. And some of the parents of the children who died at Sandy Hook say that this conspiracy theory has resulted in years of harassment.
Parents have said that because of the conspiracy theories that Alex Jones was promoting, that they have received death threats, that they have had to move, that they have sustained emotional damages directly as a result of Alex Jones.
In 2018, the parents of several murdered children sued Jones for defamation in 3 separate cases. At the time, Jones' lawyers said the lawsuits were frivolous, but he never actually mounted a defense in court. And so he lost by default. Now, trials in Texas and Connecticut are deciding how much he should have to pay each family. The case in Austin this month is going first. It involves Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis. Their 6-year-old son, Jesse, was killed at Sandy Hook, and Jones repeatedly accused them of lying about it. As a result of this lie, they say they've been confronted by strangers, at home and on the street. And Heslin says even his car and his house have been shot at. Here's Heslin talking about Jones in 2018.
It's going on for 4.5 years. The lies, the trauma that he imposes, the pain and suffering with the lies he peddles. And, you know, to say that Sandy Hook was a hoax and it never happened, it's an outright lie.
How much do the lawyers for these first two parents, Heslin and Lewis, say that Jones should pay them?
The victims asked for $150 million in damages. They asked for $1 for each of these 75 million Americans who believe that Sandy Hook is a hoax. And then they asked for $75 million in the damages that they personally had suffered from Alex Jones's broadcasts.
The trial began on July 25th. The focus wasn't on whether Jones lied. Remember, he was already found liable for that. This trial was purely about how much the damages should be.
First, the plaintiffs presented their case. You have parents talking about their deceased child. You have psychologists talking about how this is something that they will never get over.
What was Alex Jones's defense?
His defense was that it's his job to question the official narrative, and that although he talked about Sandy Hook so much, that he didn't talk about it that much because he talks about everything extemporaneously for a long time. And that, yes, he said that it was a hoax in the past, but that he now believed that it was, quote, 100% real.
It's 100% real, as I said on the radio yesterday, and as I said here yesterday, it's 100% real.
Jones said under oath that the shooting was real, but he was accused of lying about other things during the trial, like his finances and whether he complied with evidence gathering. And the judge called him out for it.
It seems absurd to instruct you again that you must tell the truth while you testify. Yet here I am. You must tell the truth while you testify. This is not your show. Do you understand what I have said?
Yes, I believe what I said was true. So I don't.
Yes, you believe everything you say is true, but it isn't. Your beliefs do not make something true. That is what we're doing here. Just because you claim to think something is true does not make it true.
And she said, listen, we're going to get through this case, but after that, I am going to consider sanctioning you for your behavior in this courtroom over the past 2 weeks.
For months, the family's lawyers had been trying to get phone records from Jones that were relevant to the case. But he had said under oath that he couldn't find any text messages relating to Sandy Hook. And then, on the last day of Jones' testimony, that also turned out to be a lie.
That was, period, the most wild moment I have ever seen in a courtroom, fictional or non-fictional, Ryan. At the very end of his cross-examination, the plaintiff's attorney brings up a text message that Alex sent, that mentioned Sandy Hook. And Alex looks at him, and he says, essentially, where did you get this text message?
Do you know where I got this?
No.
Mr. Jones, did you know that 12 days ago, your attorneys messed up and sent me an entire digital copy of your entire cell phone with every text message you've sent for the past 2 years, and when informed, did not take any steps to identify it as privileged or protect it in any way. And as of 2 days ago, it fell free and clear into my possession. And that is how I know you lied to me when you said you didn't have text messages about Sandy Hook.
This was the mic drop moment of all mic drop moments. This has since come out in court that they were intending to send a very limited number of messages. And instead, apparently, they sent the entire trove.
What did that show or what did that mean for the case?
What it showed was that it was, and the plaintiff's attorney said this, was that Alex Jones may have just committed, during his examination, perjury. He said, I don't have any such messages. I don't have any records of any of this. And here are the records right in front of you. and they came from your own attorneys. You know, we didn't hack your phone. Your attorneys sent us evidence of your perjury.
Last week, the jury decided Jones should pay Heslin and Lewis $4.1 million in damages for actual harm caused and $45.2 million for punitive damages to dissuade him from doing it again. Here's how Scarlett Lewis reacted in court.
I am hoping that he really takes this to heart because in the end, Luff is a choice. And what he's putting out there, lies, hatred, fear, that's a choice too.
Jones has been ordered to pay nearly $50 million, and the number could get bigger because he's still facing two more trials and potentially two more judgments. But does he have enough money to pay? That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/journal. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Hiring? With Indeed, your search is over. With over 350 million global monthly visitors and candidate matching technology, Indeed helps you find quality candidates fast. As a listener of this show, Indeed is giving you a £100 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/thejournalpod. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As the trial in Texas was taking place, the parent company of InfoWars, called Free Speech Systems, filed for bankruptcy.
When a company files for bankruptcy, one of the reasons you do that is because it immediately pauses all of the lawsuits and litigation that could be brought against that particular company.
That's our colleague Jonathan Randles, who covers bankruptcy.
So you file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and say to your creditors, in this case, people that have sued your company, and say, look, we cannot afford to pay all of you this money that you're seeking. You know, in some cases, it's we cannot continue paying the costs to defend the company in litigation. So let's move instead to bankruptcy court, pause all of the litigation, and try to come to some sort of agreement.
Declaring bankruptcy didn't stop the trial in Texas, but it could freeze the other two cases, which are scheduled for September. A bankruptcy court is due to make a decision on that later this month. Is Alex Jones and his business, is it actually bankrupt?
That's a question that will be scrutinized in the bankruptcy court. Free Speech Systems and Alex Jones and, you know, the professionals that he has hired and that InfoWars has, have said, yeah, that they're in distress because of these lawsuits and that they do not have the resources to continue defending them. So that's their claim. I think that the Sandy Hook lawyers are going to test that claim and they're going to want to look at the books.
In court last week, Jones said that he couldn't afford to pay more than $2 million in damages.
Any compensation above $2 million will sink us.
But at the same time, Jones also said that his company makes lots of money from things like subscriptions and selling survival gear and dietary supplements. Here's Rob again.
What Alex said on the stand, under oath, so if he lied, he's guilty of perjury, is that InfoWars, at best, earns about $70 million of revenue a year. But at the same time, he said, even though we have all of this revenue, a judgment is sure to bankrupt me.
How could that be possible? How could Alex Jones's business be making $70 million a year, and yet anything over $2 million cause him to be bankrupt?
Here's what the plaintiff's lawyers would say. They would say that we've been in this litigation for 4 years, that Alex knew this was coming and that for the last several years, he has been pulling money out of the business to make the business seem weak so that the business can file for bankruptcy and so that he can say, oh, well, we're done, we're kaputs. But meanwhile, that all of that money is with Alex Jones.
Jones and Free Speech Systems have denied improperly taking money out of the business. An economist who testified for the plaintiffs estimated that the combined net worth of Jones and Free Speech Systems is between $135 and $270 million. But our colleague Jonathan says that even though the plaintiffs won a big judgment, it could be a while before the family sees any money.
It would be surprising if the judgment was paid quickly. I mean, this could be months and months of, you know, continued fighting in court, for sure. And fighting in bankruptcy court, potentially.
So what do you think that this trial and this bankruptcy and this judgment, what is it going to mean for InfoWars and for Alex Jones?
He's been planning for a potentially substantial judgment for many months. That we do know. And he's prepared to figure out how to continue fighting a potential judgment for as long as it takes, you know, for him to prevail.
Lawyers for Jones said they're planning to appeal the verdict in Texas. They also said they would ask the court to reduce the amount he has to pay under a state law that's supposed to cap punitive damages. So what is going to happen next?
So a lot is going to happen and then nothing at all, really. We're going to see these additional cases. We're going to see more possible testimony from Alex. We'll see other families bring their defamation damages cases. And we're going to see whether Alex wriggles out of this, whether he's able to use bankruptcy to not pay some of these judgments. This is something that could go on for years and years.
That's all for today, Monday, August 8th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like the show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.